Welcome to A Journey of Transformation Empowerment. You're listening to Antonio T. Smith, Jr., where ideas ignite, change, and possibilities are endless. Before we dive into today's episode, we have something special for our listeners. Today's podcast is brought to you by a groundbreaking book that's reshaping the conversation around Black economic empowerment. It's Resegregation, Volume 1,
The Power Matrix,
a master plan for Black group economics with wealth creation, authored by visionary Antonio T. Smith, Jr. Antonio isn't just an author. He's a former top-secret combat special operations intelligence sergeant turned millionaire. His life work championed the economic autonomy and wealth creation within Black communities. In this seminal work, dedicated to teachings of Dr. Claude Anderson, Antonio outlines a comprehensive blueprint covering critical sectors like finance, technology, manufacturing, and more. He blends military discipline with acute understanding of systematic disparity. This isn't just a book. It's a movement, a call to action to create lasting wealth and reshaping the economic narrative. Antonio's vision is clear: drive a significant shift toward Black ownership and control. Listeners, if you've ever wondered about innovative strategies for wealth creation or how technological transformation can uplift the Black communities, then this book is for you. Join Antonio Smith, Jr. on the transformative journey. Pick up your copy of the Resegregation Volume 1, The Power Matrix, today, and be a part of the reshaping future. Now, let's dive into the episode and explore the possibilities that await us.
You want to be a speaker, trainer, or coach? I've got you. Antonio T. Smith Jr. is my name. You've probably heard of me. That's probably why you're here. I've been featured on Forbes, awarded top 101 global developmental and training minds on Goldcast. It's just a wonderful ride for me, but I got here by speaking. And now at this point in my legacy, I'm not interested in how much money I make, more about how I make my money. Therefore, I am taking select people with stories, people with intensity, people who want to value personal development over money. This sounds like you. If your blood is boiling right now, then I may be speaking to you. If you have that story that you know would change the world, if you change somebody and now you're addicted to it and you want to do it more, if you want to speak in front of 10,000 people, or maybe you just want to be famous, get your name out there and change the world. However it may be, however it happens, Bureau of Dominant Speakers is for you. It's intense. I won't lie to you. I'm a very intense person. It's very affordable. Look in the show notes. You'll see Bureau of Dominant Speakers. Click that link. And hey, let's dominate. Because you can do it. And this is your moment.
And we are back again. And I'm just having so much fun. I have a superstar on the phone. Now, I tend to call a lot of people superstars. But I mean it whenever I say it. And I was giving him a little rundown before we start recording. And his energy was like, yo, put me in a game, coach. Put me in a game. So here we are. We're putting my man, Dwayne Clark, into the game. Why don't you introduce yourself, my man?
Good morning, Antonio. It's Dwayne Clark. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm bringing it this morning. I want to scream out there to your listeners and give them some energy and some success.
All right, man. I love that. Well, I tell you what, with our artless transition, just randomly, what success tip would you have right now for them?
Oh, man, you know, I was listening, you know, every morning I spend about an hour listening to other motivators, and I was listening to this one person talk, and they said, live your life as though your prayers have already been answered. And that really resonated with me. You know, I think sometimes people always are thinking down the road, and believe me, I'm a big proponent of goal setting and manifesting. But at some point, you got to be in gratitude about where you are. And I think too often people try to live life like it's a ladder. And too often they want to look at the top rung of the ladder and say, "Man, I'm going to go there tomorrow." When in reality, what we have to do is feel safe on the rung that we're on, and carefully and strategically plan how to go to the next rung, because that's how you get to the top. And I think, you know, we're living in this day and age where people want immediate gratification. They want to be famous tomorrow. They don't want to do the hard work. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it manifests. And, you know, I can tell you that as a guy that's been in management for 30 some years, it doesn't happen overnight. So that's how I'd start.
Yeah. Well, let's just say that was a fantastic start. So I'm going to play devil's advocate here, Dwayne. You know what? I'm not satisfied. I'm not. You just told me that I need to be satisfied on the rung that I am. I'm not satisfied with that. What would you tell me? Because right now I hear you and it sounds like motivational, you know, malarkey. I don't want to be satisfied. They did this to me. What would you tell someone like me?
Well, I'm not saying not to give up on your goals. I'm saying wake up in the morning and build on the foundation you have. So be in gratitude about, okay, what have I accomplished so far? What have I done so far in my life? What are my strengths? What am I lucky for? And maybe the fact that you have good health today. And maybe the fact that, man, you got people that love you. You have great parents. You have great friendships. You have a great network. So you have to start with what you have. Too often, people start with what they don't have. So there's nothing to build on, right? So, you know, this is your brick by brick mentality. You know, what do you have? What's the foundation of your life? Because that's the rung you're on. Whether you like it or not, it's the reality of life. So build on the things that you have, the strengths of your life, and then that will enable you and propel you to go to the next rung.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can't be devil's advocate about that, but that was just too much universal truth right there. That was just way too good. All right, man, let's skip a little bit. Let's skip. What is it that you do? My listeners are falling in love with you already, but they don't know exactly what you do for a living. Won't you tell us that?
Well, I'm kind of a serial entrepreneur. For over 30 years, I've taken care of seniors, and I own a senior housing company, a company called
Wow.
Aegis Living. We have about $3 billion in real estate. I was the founder, started it from a ground up. We have about 2,500 employees. We'll hire another 1,000 employees here in the next 24 to 36 months. We've been voted best company to work for 15 times. Last year, we were the Glassdoor top 50 company out of 700,000 plus companies voted for. We're the best and best of senior housing, assisted living, memory care. And so that's my day job and what I've done. I founded the company almost 22 years ago. So that's what I do for a day job. But, you know, as I said, I'm a serial entrepreneur. I own a chain of coffee shops called the Queen Bee, where we give 100% of the profit away to charity every quarter. So that was kind of dedicated to my mom, who was a inspiration in my life. You know, I've written a play. I have my sixth book coming out. I've developed all kinds of businesses and mentored people. I have three foundations where I mentor everyone from pro athletes to the top high school athletes in the nation. So I try to stay busy.
So you're basically a genie and you get all your wishes. That's basically it, right?
I don't want to get bored in life, Antonio. I don't want to get bored. And you know what? One of the big things that I try to tell people is what are the artifacts that you're going to leave in this world after you leave it? You know, what are the living artifacts that are going to have a life expectancy long after you? And that's a real mission of mine, to help and inspire people to create these living artifacts that, hey, we only get so many years on this planet, and it's really not up to us. And when we leave, what's that legacy? What are those living artifacts that you've left to make this world a better place? So I'm constantly in search of, you know, what's my next artifact going to be? And it may be a building, it may be a book, it may be a play. I have a movie company, you know, we've done half a dozen, you know, social worthy documentaries. So always trying to think, what's that next artifact going to be?
It's amazing. I have so many questions. Let's see if I can get
I'm ready, man. Give them
to me. 2,000 employees, and you're looking to hire another couple of thousand in the next 2 years or so. What drives a person like you to create dreams for so many different people?
Well, you know, I was reading your bio and, you know, the life that you have. And, you know, although I didn't come out of a dumpster or sleep in a dumpster, I wasn't raised by child services. You know, I had a impoverished life. I grew up, had an abusive dad who beat my sisters and brothers merciless and my mother, and then just vacated our house and left when he was six. And then all my siblings were much older than me. My closest siblings, almost 8 years older than me. And so when that last sibling left, it was just my mom and I. And I was kind of a rowdy kid. I would go so far as to say I was a juvenile delinquent. I had two priorities in my life when I was about 15 years old. One was girls, and two were cars. And the priority
All right.
was switch back and forth, you know, on a daily basis. So, you know, so my sophomore year, I decided in high school I didn't need to go to school, that I could earn money racing cars and having girlfriends. That was my life to be. And so, you know, I dropped out of school. My mom found out, boy, that was the end of that. She put me in a private Catholic school about 100 miles away, and I lived with a family and turned my life around, absolutely turned my life around. And, you know, I went, my grade point was a 0.7, not a one.
Wow.
Was a 0.7. And then, then when I went to this school, which is a private school, I had to take my sophomore year over again. I ended up with a 3.88. So yeah. I wasn't stupid. I just wasn't applying myself. I wasn't using the gifts that I was given. And I needed to be motivated by people, and that changed my life. You know, I spent 3 years at that school, changed my life, got a scholarship to go to college and so on. So I think, you know, I think I use that background just as you do. You know, you use that background. You have two choices when you have a tough, you know, kind of background childhood. One, you can say, woe is me. God, my parents didn't do this. My childhood was horrible. I was abused. My, you know, whatever. And you can wallow in that self-pity for the rest of your life until the day you die. Or I think like you or like me, I looked at it and said, man, I don't want to ever create that life again.
Yes.
So this is going to be rocket fuel for me, man. This is going to be rocket fuel to get as far and as fast away from that kind of life as possible. You know, one of my mentors was a guy named Dr. Wayne Dyer. I'm sure you've heard of him.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
And he was a fabulous guy. And I would talk to him about my father, and how my father was a jerk and how he, you know, was abusive. And he would look at me and he'd say, man, you had a wonderful dad. And I'd say, wait, no, you're not hearing me, man. This guy, he would physically beat us, man. And he would drink, and he'd go, oh, he was phenomenal, man. What great lessons he taught you. And I'm like, am I not getting through to you? You know, and he goes, Dwayne, what kind of parent are you? And I stopped. And I'm like, well, I'm a phenomenal parent. He goes, are you a better parent than your dad? I said, man, there's no comparison. I'm so much better. And he's like, well, what did your dad teach you? And I stopped. What did he teach me? He said, by his behavior, but by what he did to you, he made you parent reverse.
Wow.
And, you know, that's probably one of the most profound things anyone's ever said to me. I go, You're absolutely right. Because of the influence my father had on me, I wanted to make sure I was a phenomenal dad, you know, great parent. I really, really put a lot of energy into that. And so he flipped that situation totally around on me. And he was raised by an alcoholic father who left him in an orphanage, by the way. So, you know, we see these things and we have choices about how to perceive them and how to let them affect our lives. And, you know, when he told me that story, I was like, man, there's so many other things that happened to me because of that. You know, my work ethic, my goals to get out of poverty, my parenting, so many other things. I really was parented in reverse.
That's incredible. You definitely were parented in reverse. And come on, Wayne Dyer is your mentor. Man, that is, you have to be one of the greatest people, luckiest people on earth to even be able to just tout that out your mouth. And it gives me a question. How did me and you get here? We have these terrible childhoods. You mentioned, man, I don't ever want to create that life again. What do you think is the common thread between me and you and people like me and you, and how can you relate that to our audience?
Well, I think at some point a light bulb has to go on in your life, whether that's a teacher, a coach, an uncle, a grandparent, you know, it's somebody that's got to show you have value. And when you get, all of us as human beings want to be valued. We want to be validated. And so when you get that validation, I'll just personalize it for a second. I have a foundation called D1 Foundation. And it's, I mentor, right now I have the number one football player for the class of 2019, the number one football player for the class of 20, and the number one football player for the class of 2021 in the nation.
Wow.
And, you know, you see these kids and they just want to be validated. They want some love upon them. And it's fascinating when you find that spark in someone, tell them, hey, you can do this. You know, you can be a good athlete. You can be a good business person. You can be a good man. You can be a good woman. When you ignite that spark, I mean, it's just contagious. And so, you know, I look to ignite sparks in people, and I know you do this too. But I think probably the common denominator for us is someone saw that spark in us and they ignited it. And then
wow.
It builds on itself, right? I mean, it's like the match that created the forest fire. You just like, hey, there's no stopping this now.
Wow. Okay, so let's do this thing, because you got me so excited over here. I want to shift. Yeah, I want to shift the atmosphere. I want to put you in the maestro mode. I want to put you in rabbi mode, and put me in student mode. Yeah, and I want the listeners to check this out, because here I am. I'm 37. I haven't had a job since I was 29. I'm worth 10 figures, and I've worked really hard to get here, and now working hard doesn't really get me further. Giving back more gets me further. What advice would you give a young man like me? Because you've got it. I should be learning something from you, and this is evident. What would you tell someone like me?
Yeah, I think the first thing you said is very evident. I think the more you give, the more you get. I didn't believe that in my 20s and 30s. I thought, oh, man, this is all about me. This is all about me getting my stuff. You know, this is all about me acquiring wealth and improving my balance sheet, my net worth, and so on. That flipped for me, I think, in my 40s and 50s. I just turned 60. And, you know, I look at that and I go, God, the more I give, I have these vast returns. I'll tell you a story that specifically.
Go ahead. Yeah, I'm so excited about it.
And I didn't plan on telling the story, but I meditate every morning, and
yes.
So I, you know, before Christmas I was meditating, It was about a week before Christmas, and I just went into this meditation. I said, you know, I need to meditate about what in my life I should be grateful for. So I did this 20-minute meditation. I always sit with a pad beside me when I'm meditating because some things come to me that are very valuable. Come out of this meditation, and I'm like, man, that was weird. And I immediately write down 7 people's names, okay? And these were 7 people I need to be grateful for.
Wow.
Now, some of the people were really obvious. You know, some of the people were obvious, like a coach, one of my coaches, a religious brother that taught me in Catholic school, a priest that counseled me, a friend that was there for me when I needed them. So some of them were really obvious, right?
Right.
2 people on the list, I'm like, why in God's name are these people on the list? I don't get it. I don't understand it. What? How did my brain come up with putting these 2 people on the list? One person was my ex-wife, okay? And the second person was a kid who beat me up when I was 11 years old.
Wow.
Now, I sat there, and I'm like, huh. Now, why should I be in gratitude to these 2 people? Well, the first one, my ex-wife, was, you know, it taught me how to be, just like the Wayne Dyer advice, it taught me how to be a better husband to my current wife. It taught me to grow up, to be more mature, to be more responsible, to be more loving. So all those things I owe to my ex-wife. And, you know, I'm a phenomenal husband because of that relationship. So that became clear.
Yeah.
The second one, the kid who beat me up when I was 11, I looked at and I thought, all right, this one's a little more cloudy for me. And then I thought,
pretty much.
What happened? Well, I ran, you know, I got hurt. I got punched in the nose. I ran home crying. I didn't want to go to school. I was embarrassed, you know, and everything. And I remember my mom talking to me, and she said, you know, life's going to be like this. You're going to get punched in the nose. You know, this is going to happen a lot. You get, you know, you can run home and cry, and, you know, hide in your bedroom with the covers over your head. Things are not going to go away. The world's going to keep on turning. And I thought about this kid, and I thought, well, I think that's what he taught me. I never ran from a fight again, you know. And metaphorically in business, I never run from a fight. No matter. It could be the worst case scenario. I'm in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a bulldog. So that guy really taught me a lot of lessons that carried over my personal life, carried over in my parenting, carried me over in business. Like, you just can't run from a fight. It's just not going to happen. So what did I do with that? Well, for the people I knew, I called them and I expressed this gratitude that I had for each of them, the impact that I had for each of them. And then I wrote them a letter. And, you know, some of these people I hadn't seen in 45 years. And I wrote them all a letter.
Wow.
And I gave them a check for between $5,000 and $10,000. And I sent it
amazing.
Off each of them. And so, you know, when I sent those checks, everyone but the kid who beat me up, and he got the check, has cashed it. That's the only one. And everyone has responded to me with great gratitude. Now, here's where this story has to do with the more you give, the more you get.
Yeah.
The day after I sent my last letter, my secretary comes in and she goes, you know, and I'd sent these checks. I don't remember what the total was, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, something like that for all of them. Mm-hmm. The day after I sent my last letter and my last check to these people, my secretary comes in and goes, well, this never happened. And I said, well, what happened? She goes, well, you just got a return from the IRS that you overpaid for $78,000.
Yeah.
Now, how often does that happen? You know,
no, it does not happen.
Yeah. Now, and it was so, it was not a lot more than what I gave, but it was more than what I gave, and it was the day after I wrote that last check. Some people say, A doesn't equal Z. I think it does. I don't think that's a coincidence. I think that happened because that was a validation of my efforts.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So I know exactly what I want to do with the rest of this podcast. You're taking over this podcast, sir. That's your job now. You are.
I am?
Obedient.
Okay.
Yes.
Let's do it.
You are obediently taking over this podcast, and you are now mentoring me and the thousands and later on millions of listeners that will listen to this over the year. I have a question.
All right. I feel
you've
privileged.
Been doing this. Good. Appreciate you. You've been doing this 30-plus years. I believe you said the 90s, and I was just, as you were talking, looking up your assisted living facility. First off, the website is impeccable. Good job. Good job there.
Thank you.
I've got to ask, it just, I have no choice. What would you tell me so I don't blow all this up and not get what I deserve?
Yeah, I think the first thing is you have to be humble. Humility, civility are traits that are getting shorter and shorter supply.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it has to do with the way we communicate today, you know, in social media. And I'm passionate about those two traits. You know, I go to this 82-year-old healer. And she's amazing. She's in Santa Barbara. I go visit her, and she's got these powers that I really can't even explain.
Yeah.
And she works on you, and she kind of talks to your guides and does all these things. I'm getting in the woo woo area, so I'm just preparing.
No, I like the woo woo area.
Okay. So I'm giving you a woo woo alert here, and so she's working on me, and she's doing like some forecasting of my future. And she's like, oh my God, you know, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. And you're going to have this kind of wealth and this is going to happen. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't believe I did this, that I've been so brilliant, that I've strategized, that I've worked to get this place. She goes, time out, Dwayne, just time out. What are you talking about? And I go, well, you know, I plotted and I planned and I strategized and I did this. And she looks at me and she goes, I just have to tell you, this has nothing to do with you. And I'm like, well, I beg your pardon. I'm the CEO and I'm, you know, I'm worth this much money. I've done this. How can you? She goes, no, this has zero to do with you. You know what this is? This is the universe working through you. You are a vehicle. That's it. You are just a vehicle that's on this path to do this, but don't let your ego get involved in this. This has nothing to do with you. That was like the biggest aha moment I probably had in a decade.
Yeah.
And I my advice to you is to believe that you are a vehicle, to stay humble, to not let your ego get involved, and to give back and mentor to others as much as you can, because that's the real currency. That's sustainability. That's your artifact. That's your living legacy. So when you do those things, those are things money can't buy. They just can't buy it.
Wow. Well, here's what I've been doing. And I'm actually not even saying it to you because I know you're picking up on it. I'm saying it to the audience. I've just been actively listening. And I'm just kind of taking it all in. And somewhere in about 7 minutes of this podcast, I kept feeling this feeling that kept saying, hey, you should be a student on this one. And I was like, well, that's crazy. Come on, Secret to Success podcast, right? It's top rank. There you go. I've got to interview this guy, right? And it kept saying, hey, be a student. This is what we need to happen right now. Pay attention and then be vulnerable and then tell everybody you're about to be mentored right now on this podcast. So, I finally gave in because, you know, Dwayne, takes me about 2 minutes to actually listen. You know, sometimes takes me 2 years to listen, but I do listen eventually after I get beat up a little bit. So instead of getting beat up this time, I just submitted in 2 minutes. So let's keep down this path, right? Let's keep down this Dwayne mentor.
Well, let me just say,
Antonio,
I'm humble.
Path.
I'm humbled, Antonio. I'm humbled because you have done so many great things in life and been so, so successful. I'm humbled and honored. So thank you.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you. And thank you for even doing it for me as well. Now, it begs me to ask another question, and I'm not even sure why I'm asking this question, but I'm pretty sure you're going to be sure why I'm asking this question when I do it. We're, ladies and gentlemen, pulling a page out of Dwayne's book, we're going in the woo-woo world now, okay? We're going to woo-woo world. Your staff. There's something you're doing with your staff that everyone needs to know. Something that is revolutionary, empathetic, that I can learn, that all of us can learn, that you're doing between your president, your marketing director, and the lowest people on level one that have to go 99 levels just to get in touch with you. What is that that you're doing to be whatever?
Yeah, there's going to be a few things, and I'm going to go down the list. So
please.
I'll apologize in advance for not having one answer. So the first thing that I do when I look at a business, if you look at a business and there's a lot of things wrong with it, you can look and say, ah, I'd never get in that industry. It's horrible. And you take my industry. When people think about retirement homes, assisted living, old folks home, they think, ah, geez, it's smelly. It's, you know, people are dying. It's depressing. I don't look at my industry like that. I look and say, first of all, what a gift that I have that people are entrusting me with their loved ones in the last 2 or 3 years of their life. What a great gift. And I get the opportunity to work around thousands of oracles that have been on this planet for many, many years and hear their wisdom and advice. And that's a gift. But when you enter a business that doesn't have a great public perception, that's an opportunity. So that's the first thing I would tell people. Everybody wants to work in the sexy industries or they're glamorous or whatever. The opportunities are less. So the first thing I did is I didn't want to run my company like any other company. So I said I'm not going to hire anyone that works in senior housing. All my senior executives, my current president was the first chief marketing officer for Starbucks.
Wow.
He's retiring in May, and the incoming president, he just came as being the president of Starbucks America. He oversaw 182,000 employees. So that's my current president. My head of my chief people officer, my head of HR and people relations was one of the heads of HR of Amazon. My head of marketing was the number two person of marketing at Nordstrom's. My CFO came from the Gates Foundation. My VP of sales came from Levi Strauss. So what I do is I call it the making of the quilt. The quilt is the company, and each of these patches that you make come from phenomenal cultures, phenomenal companies, and so on. So we don't do things like anyone else. Okay. So that's tip one is when you look at an industry and it's got problems, your job is to recreate it, to rebrand it, to give it beauty.
Yeah.
If you were to walk into one of my buildings, the 3 of the last 4 years, my buildings have won the number one architectural award in the world, in the United States, excuse me. And people think of them as Four Seasons. In fact, I was sitting in one a couple of years ago. It was the first day it was open. A mailman came in and he was looking down at the mail, sorting it. And he walks in and he goes, oh, I'm sorry, I thought this was the assisted living home. And I'm like, dude, this is the assisted living home. He's like, this looks like a Four Seasons, you know? So you have a job to recreate your business, whatever it is, and change the public perception. So that's number one. Number two, every year for about the last 16 years, I put on a conference for a variety of people, most of my staff, about 100, 150 people, called EPIC. EPIC stands for Empower People, Inspire Consciousness. It's a self-development conference. It has nothing to do with our company, with aging, with Alzheimer's, with retirement homes, with anything. In fact, if you're caught talking about any of those things at the conference, you're fined $25 and it goes in our foundation, which is called the Potato Soup Foundation, which is a whole nother story.
Sweet.
So the first thing I do at that conference is I stand up and I invite people to leave the company. And you may say, well, what are you talking about? You invite people to leave your own company? I do. I do because I never want people in my company to feel like they're being held there by a paycheck. I never want to have people be prisoners in my company. And I tell them, I started this 16 years ago, I tell them, hey, look, if during this three-day self-improvement development conference you have this epiphany that this is not the road I'm supposed to be on, as long as you don't go try to compete with me, you know, I'll do everything short of writing you a big check. I'll do everything in my power. I use my Rolodex, my contact, my resources to help you start this new life. And on top of that, we'll help you. We'll celebrate you. And so the first year I did this 16 years ago, four or five of my direct reports left in 6 months. I thought, wow. I got to be the stupidest CEO in the world having to do this. When the last person came in and told me, I sat in my office with my head in my hands, and I'm like, I'm not going to go out there and celebrate and help this person. I'm not. And then I'm like, man, you got to be a man of integrity. You got to live up to your word. That's what you said you do. You got to do it, Dwayne. You got to do it. So I did it. Now, since then, very, very few people have left. Some have, and probably it was a good decision, both for them and the company. But you got to invite people to leave your company. Sometimes people just need permission. They want to be parented. Sometimes you just got to say, hey, you can leave. So that's the second thing. The third thing is we coined a phrase in our company called management by vulnerability. Management by vulnerability, what does that mean? Well, you know, when I go and I'm talking to the part-time dishwasher who may not have English as his first language, he's looking at me and he's like, man, you drive a nice car, you have a nice suit, you know, you got a nice watch going on. You probably fell off the air and hit the ground as a CEO when you were rich. It's my job to dispel that rumor. It's my job to talk about how I relate to that staff. It's my job. So that's the management about vulnerability. I talk about struggling with my weight. You know, I struggle with my weight, man. I've been overweight since I had a Jenny Craig card coming out of my mama's womb, you know. So all my life, I've struggled with my weight. So I talk about that. I talk about going through a bad divorce. I talk about having poor credit when I was in my 20s. I talk about all these things. And you know why? Because it helps people relate to you. Because that's real life. That's how life is. And most CEOs will want to say, you know, I went to Harvard and, you know, I got a double major and then I got my MBA. And my wife, well, you know, Buffy over here, who's an ex-beauty queen, you know, sings in the choir and, you know, we have two perfect children. That's not life. And so what happens is your employees end up disengaging from you and not being loyal to you because you're not real. You're just not real. You're a reality show. Yeah. And the reality is if we can inspire people to say, hey, man, you can be a CEO today. I know you're the dishwasher, but you can be a CEO. And here's the next rung of the ladder for you. And here's how you do that. You can do this. You just got to believe in yourself. You can do this. So I'm no different than you. I just worked hard, and I paid attention to the rungs on the ladder. I'm like, well, this is the next one. This is the next one. And you just keep climbing, man. You just keep climbing. So those are the three tips that I would give.
Yeah, those are three amazing tips. And now you've taken us – well, you've taken me all the way into woo-woo world. So I'm going to keep going because why not, right? I'm going to keep going. I'm totally – I'm weird like you. I meditate. I'm real Abraham Hicks-like. You know, I'm always vibrating at a good frequency. At least I'm trying to. And
right.
I'm feeling you right now on a level of awareness level. With that being said, I just feel like there's something that you can really say that I have no idea that you're about to say. And that's not even a question. So this is like the worst interview question of all time, but I'm not asking you a question. I'm asking
my
you to rise that energy.
Tony, I'll just say no.
Yeah. Rise that energy you're feeling, man, and just take over. Run for it, man. Teach us something.
Well, you know, I feel like our universe is really in an odd place right now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to wax political, but just in terms of energetically how it is, it's in a weird place. A year ago last September of 2017, I led a rally with a young man called Ken Wadicki, and you may recognize Ken. He's the guy that leads the Free Hugs movement. And he's a great young man, and I've mentored him. And we led a rally on Washington, D.C. with several hundred people, and I spoke from the steps where Martin Luther King gave his I Have a Dream speech. We had about a dozen speakers. C-SPAN covered it and broadcast it to 8 million people. And our goal was to bring civility back and, you know, really talk about how do we be civil to each other? You know, I'm sure there's people in your life, whether that was your parents before you were six or, you know, after, that said, man, you got to be polite. You got to have some manners. You got to be civil. We've lost that art of civility, even how to talk to each other, how to compliment each other, how to have, you know, manners with each other. We've lost it.
Yeah.
And I'm saddened by that, and I feel compelled to model that and bring it back. I don't always do it well. My wife tells me that all the time. She gives me the honey-do list, and she said, man, you're not doing this so well. Come on, mister, shape up. But, you know, at the end of the day, we have to look how to treat each other better. And this gets back to the whiner-complainer attitude. We complain about what's going on in our society, or we can affect our society. We can say, hey, what am I going to do? What am I going to do tomorrow? I may go buy four cups of coffee and hand them out to the people in line. My neighbor may be on vacation. I may go mow his lawn and just say, hey, I wanted to do this for you. But we have this innate responsibility to do something for a fellow man that makes life.
Yeah.
That's the way you turn around this bad energy. Is that, you know, I always believe good trumps evil, always. So if we do more of these great things for each other, and that, you know, the people that are listening to this right now, the one thing that I would challenge them to do, I would challenge them to go out and do something phenomenal for people. I know you've read this, and my PR people probably talk to you. I love to give these phenomenal tips, right?
I don't mean
tips and words. I mean on my bill check, right? Tips. So I have become infamous, if you will, for leaving tips of like $40 bills of like $3,000. And I realize everyone can't do that, but I've done that several times. A couple times it's been posted in the media. Many times it's very indiscreet. In fact, the first time I did it, it got 1 billion views from doing it. And that's not the reason I did it. I did it discreetly.
No.
But my point in telling that story is you can do some random act of kindness. In fact, 3 weeks ago, my wife and I were in Rome, and we had a private audience with the Pope, and that was the discussion about how we go about delivering random acts of kindness for people, because that's the juice, man. That's the juice that changes everybody's mood. Just think about it, Antonio. Just think about it. You're sitting in your studio, you're doing this podcast, and all of a sudden, someone writes you a note and goes, "Hey, I just wanted to let you know you changed my life." And then an hour later says, hey, I know you like this kind of latte. I had it special made for you, and I delivered it to you. And then an hour later, somebody said, you know what? I just picked some flowers, and I put them on your porch because you really motivate me. So, you know, you do these things. If we got this kind of juice from other people, we would be better people ourselves. But we got to make this circular. We got to promote this out there. And do these kind of little random acts of kindness and take away the anxiety, the frustration, the anger that we all have. And just chill, man. Be kind to each other.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm gonna match that energy. And I'm being inspired. Like, I'm not even, you know, trying to one-up or something. You're affecting me in a positive way, right? You have many forms of power, but two most commonly: power to change something, and then power over people, right? Which is normally damaging. So your power to is changing me. I'm thinking this here, because as you were talking, I'm like, hey, well, maybe I could do something phenomenal for somebody. And what would it be? And I thought money, and I'm like, well, that would work, but what could I do out there in Seattle? And I said, well, I don't know, but I bet you he knows. Huh, I got this idea. Got this idea twirling in my head. I'm thinking that I could do something phenomenal to one of your people that work for you on the lower level, right? Actually, no, let me not even do that. Someone that you feel drawn to that really needs a shot or help or something. I would love to have them on this podcast, which would totally expose them to a whole lot of people. And I have, I have so many courses on ATSBU.org that basically I want to give them about $50,000 in courses at no charge. Yes,
wow.
Yes. Lifetime membership, never expire. I want to give them all of that. Plus,
wow,
bring them on this podcast, and you get to decide who.
Wow. Well, that, first of all, that's incredibly generous. So I can't thank you enough. And then I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on and really think who deserves this, because I want it to be special. I want it to be
Definitely. And I vow that, like you, anybody else, we have a nice marketing budget, and I vow that their podcast is going to have a significant chunk of that marketing budget pushing that podcast, so as many people around the globe can hear their story or whatever it is that the universe leads you to do with this person, and we're going to do that. And that's because you just challenged me to do something phenomenal for someone.
That's incredible. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you. No,
and
thank you.
I will get back to you with a name, I promise.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I just added you on LinkedIn, so you can put it there, or, you know, we can, so whatever, however you want to get in contact, we can do that. But I had no choice. I was like, man, I'm just totally, you know, I'm just glad that I've learned to allow moments to happen instead of always trying to control them, right?
Yeah.
I'm just glad that I got that far. Go ahead.
And you know, I think, you know, just to your listeners, with people that say, well, you know, I don't have the kind of resources that you do, Dwayne, or that you do, Antonio, or whatever, just start small. You know, if you're in the coffee shop line and you turn around and tell someone, boy, you really look nice today, that's enough, man. That's enough.
Yeah.
Or I like your coat. Or, you know, geez, you have a nice smile. That's enough. That's enough juice to set someone in the right direction.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Sometimes it just takes a little bit. Can I tell you another story?
Please, man.
So, I don't even remember how long ago this was. It's probably 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago. I love cars, okay? And I love sports cars. I have since I was 5 years old. So I'm driving a sports car, a very nice sports car, and it was on a Saturday, and I was going to go grab something out of my office. And, you know, not a lot of people in my office. I pull in my office, and this guy's following me. And I'm like, it makes me a little nervous here. And, it's a high-end car, and the guy follows me, and he gets out of the car, and he doesn't look very nice, and he's kind of rugged looking and not dressed very well. And so all my judgments are coming to my forefront, right?
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, this is not going to turn out well. And he's like, he says, I love your car. He says, and he's kind of emotional. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's not stable. And he's like, I love your car. This is my dream car. This is the car I've always wanted to have my whole life.
Wow.
And I thought, okay. That's good. Cool. And so, you know,
not a serial killer just yet.
Yeah. And so, you know, he lightens up and he starts laughing. And I go, why don't you sit in it? You know, and he gets in the car. He's like, are you kidding? I go, no, sit in it. Get behind the wheel. See how it feels. And he gets in there, and so we start talking, and this goes on for maybe 45 minutes. about my story, how I grew up, you know, the fact that I grew up poor. And, you know, he starts telling me a little about his life. I mean, man, you can do this. You can have this car someday. Okay? Mm. So this is going on and on and on. And so he's sitting in the car for like 30 minutes talking to me, and we're having this great conversation, and I'm feeling like I'm affecting this guy's life, right? And he starts to tell me about how his life has all gone wrong, how he got a divorce, he lost his job, had health problems, his kids don't talk to him anymore, all this stuff. And he's at the lowest low.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, man, this guy is really opening up. I really feel honored he's being vulnerable to me. And he goes, and you know what, Mr. Clark, you know where I was going? I'm like, no, I have no idea where you're going. He said, I was going off, and I was going to commit suicide.
Wow.
Like, what? And he said, yeah. And he said, you know, I had it all planned. I was going to put this hose in my car and go out in this, you know, out in the country here. And he said, I saw your car. I saw this car, and I said, oh, God, that's my dream car. You know, before I do this to myself, I wanna see if I can at least talk to this guy about this car.
Wow.
And so, you know, I'm like, should I call the crisis hotline? Are you okay? Are you not going to do this? You know, and he only gave me his first name. And I'm like, well, why don't you come in, you know, come in the office, let's sit down, talk some more. We actually ended up talking probably close to 2 hours.
Amazing.
And, you know, he actually came around and he said, I'm good. I know that's not what I'm supposed to do now. I feel motivated that, you know, I have a different life, that I can move on. He said, you know, it took that car and the stories that we've told to make me realize I can get out of this hole. You know, that was really incredible for me. That's what I'm saying about this juice. Sometimes you never know how you can affect someone. And I could have said, hey, don't bother me, you know, go on, beat it, you know, whatever. But the fact that you shared that vulnerability with each other, and you had that exchange with each other, and you shared your vulnerabilities. I talked to him about growing up poor. You know, one of my favorite stories is my mom came home from work one day. We didn't have enough money to eat, and she said, "Well, I'm going to have to steal some potatoes from work." And she actually, you know, we went and did this big heist at 4 a.m. And she never stole anything in the world. She was a really proper woman, but we ate potato soup for 2 weeks. And I told this guy that story. I told him, you know, hey, I had to eat potato soup for 2 weeks, and, you know, now I have a foundation called the Potato Soup Foundation, and, you know, that inspired me to not want anyone to ever go hungry again. And, you know, I could see the emotion in this guy tearing up and so on. So you never know how you're going to touch someone's life in such a profound way.
No, you don't know. Wow. Okay. I don't even know what to do with all that. That was intense. So we'll do one more. And I've done such a terrible job promoting your companies, and such a fantastic job letting you promote the goodness of the universe. So I think we'll watch
that's
it
what
out
it's all
right
about,
there.
Man.
Yeah, I know, right? We'll put it in the show notes, ladies and gentlemen, how you can see what he has. But I have two more questions. One is lesser than the other, so I asked the big one first. And I apologize in advance because it's a tough question. And I shouldn't ask it to you because it puts you on the spot, but your awareness can totally handle it. And your motives are correct, so I can ask you this question. There are many people that I talk to every day, and I'm one of them. They're struggling now, and they're struggling with their spirituality versus what's going on in the world today. And it's not just America, it's everywhere. And it's becoming difficult to go to church and also see what your Congress or Congress equivalent is also doing and claiming
what your church, religion, mosque is all about. And my question to you is, how would you help someone in this major conflict between knowing that there's this systematic oppression out there for people of color and for just people with jobs, period, it doesn't matter what color you are, debt, slavery, all sorts of stuff, versus, okay, but I know I can do every single thing Dwayne said, but I'm struggling. Is it all worth it? Should I do it at all or not? What would you tell someone like me, someone like them? Let's see what happens.
Yeah. Well, I think first of all, if you're going to be a functioning, productive member of society, the first thing you have to ask yourself is, what is my responsibility to be in the kind of society that I want to be? I have a friend who eats like crap, is out of shape, doesn't take care of himself, and he wants to date supermodels. And I'm like, well, here's the thing that's wrong with that problem, buddy, is like, what are you willing to do to get what you want to have?
Okay? Yeah.
And that's what I would tell your listeners. What are you willing to do to get what you want to have? If you want to have a spiritually rich life, if you want to have a life that's positive and motivating, then you got to do something for yourself, whatever that recipe is for yourself. If that's going to church or synagogue or mosque or whatever it is, that's your responsibility. You have to be the change. You can't, you know, oftentimes we sit in our recliners and look at the TV and go scream at it and throw things at it and say, God, I wish those guys would change. Well, that change starts with you. You have to be the change. If you want a fulfilling spiritual life, you better get up and think about, hey, pull your boots on and say, what am I going to do today for me? Because there will always be bad in the world. There will always be people you disagree with. There will always be things on the TV you want to throw at. But you can control you. And so, you know, seek the advancement, whether that's reading things that motivate you and grow you and inspire you or listening to podcasts like this. You have to be the change. And then you can't always control the things outside of you, but you can control you. So that's where it starts. It starts with you. And, you know, every morning I try to read something or watch something that inspires me and something that makes me laugh. And the reason that I do that is because laughing triggers your immune system, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so I can go watch a murder mystery, but that's not going to help me much. You know, it may be entertaining at some level. But right. I try to laugh every morning, and I try to be motivated every morning. And that inspires me to get out of bed and go do good in the world, because that's my basis in the morning, right? So,
right.
You know, we don't always have those kinds of things. And so if you're putting bad things in your brain every morning, that's kind of how your day's going to go. You know, so be careful about how you program your thoughts in your brain first thing of the day.
Wow. Amazing. Well, thank you very much. I do have one question. And when I said lesser, I didn't mean as in lower value. It's just a question about yourself. And I can tell you're not about yourself. Although you take care of yourself, you're about giving yourself to the world. So my last question, and I can't help it, I feel the energy drawn to this. My mother, my son, it's a publication you have.
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, I love to write. So one of the books I wrote, it was autobiographical in nature. It was My Mother, My Son, this book that, it was really about my growing up poor and really, you know, trying to figure out what my life was about. But my mom always wanted us to have money. She was, you know, because she was poor, she had the American dream for people. And, you know, she was an immigrant. And so she said, hey, you know, I want you to study. I want you to do well. And the irony in this book details, you know, I got in this industry of senior housing 33, 34 years ago, and, you know, rose to a really, you know, unique level in terms of the pinnacle of success. And my mother became a customer of mine. She got Alzheimer's. So there's this ironic twist of fate about, you know, my mom's, kind of the American dream story of success, but then my mother being a consequence of what I do. And that's really affected me and how I look at our residents and how I have more sensitivity to our customers and so on. And so the book sold on Amazon, called My Mother, My Son. It's done really well. And it, Hollywood's commissioned it to make it into a big screen movie. So,
look at that.
So, yeah. So,
that's a big deal, man. That's a big deal. Yeah. That is a big deal. I'm proud of everything you've done. Your energy is infectious. One last word from you, something motivational and transformational that you can tell to our listeners. The only thing I ask is I want you to think about 15-year-old you that had, you know, girls in cars and alternating from cars and girls to girls in cars.
Yeah.
Talk to that guy or girl that really needs to hear how 15-year-old you and 60-year-old you are not the same.
Yeah. Well, you never stop believing in yourself. That's the thing. You just got to believe in yourself. And, you know, even as a chairman and CEO of a major company, it's lonely. It can be very lonely. And you can have doubters and people that throw stones and everything else. And I would just tell that 15-year-old self, you know, life is rough. You're going to get a lot of – it's going to come to you at big waves. But you'll get through them. You know, you got to persevere. You got to just put your head down and go through them. And you got to wait for the calmer waters. And if you do that, if you're passionate and you persevere and you believe in yourself, you never give up on yourself. You're your own best cheerleader. Life will be really fulfilling in every way. But you can't stop believing in yourself and you can't stop cheering yourself on. And that, not in an egocentric way, but in a way that motivates you to be better every day. And that takes work. It takes study. It takes, you know, curiosity. But if you do that, you'll do really well in this world.
Ladies and gentlemen, you heard it here first from Dwayne J. Clark. He is the CEO, founder of Aegis Living Facility, but that is the last thing he would want me to tell you. He is a consciousness, living a human life and doing a damn good job at it. I appreciate you for being here, man.
I appreciate you, Antonio.
Yeah.
Be great today, buddy.
That's it. That's it. Be great, everybody. You can plant better. You can dominate.
You want to be a speaker, trainer, or coach? I've got you. Antonio T. Smith Jr. is my name. You've probably heard of me. That's probably why you're here. I've been featured on Forbes, awarded top 101 global developmental and training minds on Goldcast. It's just a wonderful ride for me, but I got here by speaking. And now at this point in my legacy, I'm not interested in how much money I make. More about how I make my money. Therefore, I am taking select people with stories, people with intensity, people who want to value personal development over money. This sounds like you. If your blood is boiling right now, then I may be speaking to you. If you have that story that you know would change the world, if you change somebody and now you're addicted to it and you want to do it more, if you want to speak in front of 10,000 people, or maybe you just want to be famous, get your name out there and change the world. However it may be, however it happens, Bureau of Dominant Speakers is for you. It's intense. I won't lie to you. I'm a very intense person. It's very affordable. Look in the show notes. You'll see Bureau of Dominant Speakers. Click that link. And hey, let's dominate. Because you can do it. And this is your moment.
When the pandemic began, I had the biggest problem in the world. Not making money. The pandemic was actually quite a blessing for me, as it almost made me a billionaire. I came really close. So the pandemic was a blessing. It was hiring people. And get this, everybody. I had 48 job positions open during the pandemic. $22 an hour with paid training, and I could not find a single person for 2 years to fit any of those 48 job positions. Hear me well. 48 job positions, $22 an hour, paid training, and I couldn't find someone, not one person, for those job positions. Now, is it because I hire slowly? True, but it's because I wasn't using ZipRecruiter, and that's a fact. I wasn't getting to the right people for the right position to fit my right culture. And there are so many different things that you can do this summer. As a matter of fact, you can free up as much time as you want to. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're probably not going to free up that time if you're attempting to hire people. So what is ZipRecruiter? What is probably the greatest job finder that's out there. And that's why you need ZipRecruiter. You need it so you can find the right candidates. Now, it's not that ZipRecruiter helps you find jobs. It's more accurately that ZipRecruiter takes your culture, takes your job, takes what you're looking for, and immediately matches them with the perfect candidate. And if they can't find a perfect candidate, they will skip over that person and then give you the perfect candidate for you. ZipRecruiter uses one of its most powerful tools, which is the technology itself, to match the right candidates up with your job. You can easily review their recommendations and easily review their recommended candidates and invite these candidates to apply for your top positions. Additionally, ZipRecruiter has a complete suite of tools that makes it easy for you to filter out, review, and rate candidates. 4 out of 5 employees have been used by 4 out of 5 employers on ZipRecruiter. It is a blessing. And no wonder ZipRecruiter is rated #1 hiring site in the world based on G2 satisfaction ratings as of this year, January 1st. My friends, soak up everything I said. It's not an ad. This is a personal testimony of how I found the right people to sit in the right seat on the right bus. Without ZipRecruiter, it wouldn't have been possible. So how do you take advantage of what I'm talking about? Well, you go to ZipRecruiter.com/B2B, all spelled the regular way. That's Zip, Z-I-P, Recruiter, R-E-C-R-U-I-T-E-R, ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. And I promise you, you will be grateful that you did so. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/B2B. It's also in the show notes.